All right, take your Bibles, please. Turn to Galatians, not Genesis. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6. Let's see here. Julianne, we might want to use some soap and clean these out since I've had a sore throat. That way, if Brother Stoltz drinks out of one of them next week, he doesn't get it. Don't say that because I don't want to lead singing. Yeah, buddy. Galatians chapter 6. Wash them good. Sterilize them. Galatians chapter 6. We're going to read the first five verses. Let's read these responsively. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. And let's finish on verse 5 together. Ready? For every man shall bear his own burden. Let's pray. Lord, I sure do need you tonight. Lord, just a few thoughts about a very important truth. Lord, it's a little personal, but I felt like this is what our church needed at this time. You're the one that prompted it, not me. And I pray that we would listen with a spiritual ear to hear what you have for us tonight, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. As you know, I preached at Commonwealth Baptist College Chapel on Tuesday. I asked you to pray for me. It went pretty well. Now, Bible College Chapel is always exciting. There's a spirit about a Bible college chapel, if it's the right kind of Bible college. It's just wild. It's crazy. You talk a bunch of crazy idiots, they're there. All right? You have about 275, 300 students there and staff. And they're all getting ready to either serve God or being trained to serve God, or they're on staff there serving God. And it's an exciting atmosphere. It really is. If you've never experienced a Bible college chapel, it's worth sitting in one time in the right kind of Bible college chapel. It'll light your fire. You know, you could get up and preach Mary Had a Little Lamb and have guys screaming and hollering, "Yeah, man!" You know, they're just crazy. But it's a lot of fun. They're hungry. They're like, I liken it unto a nest full of birds, baby birds, when mama comes back with food. You know, it's all mouth open and a lot of noise. That's what it's like, all right? They're hungry and eager. And I hate to say it, they're the next generation and steps away from jumping out into the ministry full time. The responsibility of preaching to that crowd is very huge, and I don't take it lightly. Their youth is fun, their excitement is fun, but usually there's very little wisdom mixed with it, right? It's zeal and fire with a little knowledge, and you're there to put a little bit of knowledge in there, and hopefully it'll stick with them. Now, after chapel, Doc asked me to stay, and he said, "There's a bunch of folks down there, why don't you sign their Bible?" And I don't know whoever started this signing the Bible thing, but it's kind of silly to me. But you do it, and I probably signed 40 or 50 Bibles, and I don't even know which young person I was talking to. You know, you only have about 12 minutes between the end of chapel and the next class starting, and it was hurry it up a little bit, and I tried to howdy with most of them, and one of them said, "Brother Bush, why is your life's verse what it is?" Well, I always sign Galatians 6:2 as my life's verse. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I don't think I've ever been asked that question before. Not that I was afraid of the answer, but I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure I had anybody ever asked me that question. I gave a quick answer because, of course, I didn't have time to sit there and go through a long story with them. But as I began to think about that through the week, it just kept coming back. And the reasons kept getting longer and longer. And the Lord said, why don't you preach that Sunday night? So I'm going to give you a response in a longer format of what I gave some college student at Commonwealth Baptist College this week as to, Brother Bush, why is your life verse Galatians 6:2? At the age of 13, God broke my heart to reach people. I was in Cuauhtémoc, Chihuahua, Mexico, on a missions trip. I thought I was leaving the country just to see some things and get away from my mom and dad for a couple weeks, and found out that it was going to be more spiritual than I thought it was going to be, and boy, God broke my heart. I saw people getting saved by the hundreds, saw people that had never heard the gospel, never had seen a copy of the Word of God ever in their entire life. I watched a 102-year-old lady get saved in a meeting up in the middle of a mountain in Mexico. She got saved. She looked at us and she said, I've outlived my husband. I've outlived my children. I've even outlived some of my grandchildren. Nobody's ever told me this. Did my husband and my family go to that hell you just preached about? You talk about something that'll rip your guts out. And I couldn't take it any longer. I saw the need of people. Saw the need there. The sad thing is, we got back after 2 weeks of that. And there was a fellow walking down across the parking lot of the church. Brother Carlos said, go get you one, Burning Bush. Go get you one. So I ran across the parking lot of the church, opened up my Bible, and went a man of Christ on the parking lot of the church. I thought, you know, I just spent 2 weeks traveling in this stupid, stinky bus all the way down into Mexico and back. And there's people walking across the parking lot of this church that need to get saved just as bad. And God did something in my 13-year-old brain. I'll be honest. I thought God wanted me to go to Mexico. But through wise, godly counsel of my pastor and my youth director, they said, don't put a ceiling on God. Craig, just do whatever God tells you to do. And By the way, I'm not against surrendering to go to the mission field, but I don't think at age 13 you know what exactly God wants you to do. I don't think most people at the age of 20 know exactly what they're supposed to do. They're still wet behind the ears. The will of God is very progressive, and it matures, it changes a little bit as you go through life. And I think to lock yourself into something too early in life, it's a little dangerous. These same men guided me to go to Bible college I had never heard of, to sit under a man's feet who I had never heard of named Dr. Jack Hiles. By the way, neither one of those men had gone to his college or sat under his feet. Most amazing thing. One went to Bob Jones University and Maranatha Baptist Bible College. The other one went to Tennessee Temple under Dr. Robertson. And they said, you need to go go to college under Brother Hiles. To this day, I still don't know why they got me there, but thank God they did. Thank God they did. I'd never heard Brother Hiles preach a sermon. I'd gotten a hold of one sermon tape of his. A sermon called Lions, Serpents, and Bears, preached in the 1970s when Brother Hiles had his throat trouble. He'd clear his throat about 170 times in a 40-minute sermon. He'd through the sermon. Drive you crazy. Thought, man, am I going to have to go to college and listen to that? Lo and behold, I got there, and I crossed my heart and hope Brother Stoltz dies. I got there, and the men came out at church, and I said, which one's Brother Hiles? I had no idea who it was. Had no idea what he looked like. I sat in my first college class. They said, you need to go to the bookstore and get this book he wrote. I thought, man, the guy wrote a book. I got to the bookstore, found out he wrote the whole stupid bookstore. By the time he died, he authored 44 books. I had no idea. I did not know anything about it. Now, I never even knew what to expect. I knew God wanted to use me, and I knew that I wanted God to use me. I didn't see how God was going to use me, but I wanted him to. I didn't see how God could take a little nobody that was afraid to give an oral book report in an English class and turn him into a preacher. I failed a lot of oral book reports. Say why? Because I wouldn't give them. I took zeros. I was afraid to get up in class and talk. I really was. I know you don't believe that, but it was true. I never saw myself pastoring a church. Man, I'm having fun now. Now, in 1986, I came across Galatians 6:2. I was a college student. I was working with public school teenagers in a ministry there at the college and church. And I was reaching the teenagers, reaching their brothers and sisters and families, and running bus routes. Mrs. Lopez was one of my workers, and good night. We were just, we were on fire. We were seeing God do something. Got to tell you something, Leanne. I was signing the Bible, and I was always asking the kids at the college where they were from. Kids said, I'm from Indiana. I said, where? He told me. He lived in our Bible club area. Not when we were there. He's too young to have been there when we were there, but he told me, what is that? I said, that's amazing. I said, three houses down, we had a kid that used to come to Bible club all the time. He said, I know who you're talking about. He said, he still goes to church there.
Praise the Lord.
I was having fun. Picking coupons, amen. Now, I was seeing what God could do with a nobody as we reach people. I worked with other college students. God was using me to help some of them as we was reaching other people, seeing people getting saved and baptized almost every week. It was amazing. God was allowing me to carry a heavy load of class, carry a heavy load in the ministry. I was working full time. And I'll be honest with you, I wanted more. I wanted to help as many people as I could. One day in my Bible reading early in the morning, I read, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I remember getting beside my metal bunk bed there at Baptist City, kneeling on that old nasty gold carpet. I mean, that wonderful gold carpet. Kneeling beside my bed, I looked up to God and I said, God, I might not be able to do much, but if I could fulfill your law by bearing other people's burdens, I can do that. And I began that day as Galatians 6:2 as my life's verse. Now, tonight, I want to show you what I've learned over the last 30 years about Galatians 6:2. All because a college student said, Brother Bush, why is Galatians 6:2 your life's verse? Number one, I want you to notice, Galatians 6:2 is not a request, it's a command. God did not ask us to bear one another's burdens. He commanded us to. He said, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I don't find anywhere does he say, I wish you would, or would y'all do this?
Amen.
It's just as much of a command as thou shalt not kill. It's just as much of a command as the Ten Commandments. God said, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. How many of you would like to fulfill the law of Christ? Don't raise your hand. Well, if you would, there's one way that we know we can do it. Bearing other people's burdens.
Amen.
It's that simple. Now, God did not command us, I want you to notice something, to just help other Christian people. Look at verse number one. Brethren, if a who? Does it say if a brother? Does it say if a Christian? That word man is a neutral term. It means any human being. It says if any man, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. It is our job to help every person. Did you know you're not supposed to just help Christians? You're supposed to help every human being. If your heart doesn't hurt right now for the people along the coast who've lost their power, lost their homes. I know a couple churches that aren't even able to have church because there's no power. Their churches are flooded. Their people's homes are flooded. It's tragic. If that doesn't hurt you, by the way, I'm not talking about the Christians. I'm talking about all of them.
Amen. Yes.
Right.
All of them. About 1 million people.
Right.
If that doesn't bother you, something's wrong. You know, we need to genuinely care and help everybody, not just the people we know. Did you know that your responsibility isn't just to the people you know? You're supposed to be helping bear the burdens of everybody, not just the people you know? I promise you, you follow me around. And I'm not a great example of this, but you follow me around in the business dealings that I do, in the business people that I work with, I'll tell you something. That fella cares about people. He'll help us. You go to the bank where our church banks. You mention my name there, and they'll treat you like royalty. Not because of the church, but I've learned how to take care of people. I've stopped in the bank and looked at one of the managers and said, "You look like you're having a hard day." "Yeah, this happened." "Well, could I pray with you?" "You do it?" "Yeah." Right out in the middle of the bank. Stand there and pray for somebody.
"Yes, sir."
One of them had troubles with one of their kids, and they said, "Just don't know what to do." I said, "You want advice or you just want to complain?"
Right.
Looked at me. I said, "I deal with people every day of my life." I said, I got the answer to that. They said, "You do?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "But I won't give it unless I'm asked." She said, "I'm asking." So I gave her the answer. Next time I went to the bank, she said, "Pastor Bush, it worked." I said, "Told you it would."
Amen.
You say, what is that? By the way, they've never come to church here. Doesn't need to. I'm supposed to help people.
Right.
We're supposed to help people who have burdens. This isn't just soul winning. It's truly caring about every human being on the face of the earth. Let me ask you a question. When I say, love your enemy, who comes to your mind? Would you help them?
Yes, sir.
Now, I hate to tell you something, but not everybody loves this preacher. When you preach like I do, not everybody loves you. But can I tell you something? There's not a one person in the world I wouldn't help. Not a one. Take the person that's attacked me the hardest. I'd help them in a heartbeat. Now, if they walk through that door, they're welcome to come to church here. They start causing troubles, we're going to escort them out just like we would anybody else.
Amen.
I'm not afraid of it. And just because they come to church doesn't mean that they're going to be teaching Sunday school next week either. Like I said, you can forgive a rattlesnake for biting you, but you don't have to pick it up a second time. Amen? So, notice, it's a command. It's a command to truly love and care about and help other people. Have you ever been somewhere and helped somebody you didn't know? Now, the guy at the gas station that's carrying beer in, I won't help him because I'm not touching that nasty stuff.
Amen.
But I've helped people carry stuff into the gas station before. Everybody doing all right?
Yeah, come on.
I'm not afraid of that. I've held the door for people.
Right.
I was holding the door the other day in Kentucky, and a couple ladies walked through the door, and one lady said, "Thank you," and I said, "You're welcome," and the other lady kept going by, and I said, "You're welcome," and they turned around and looked at me. And I thought, just because you didn't say thank you didn't mean I could say couldn't say you're welcome. So I did. Thank you. I had manners. I was trying to teach them manners. Amen. Did you know you can be kind to everybody?
Right.
We're to care about people. The hundreds and hundreds of people killed in Haiti.
Yes. Right.
And the homes and the devastation. If that doesn't break your heart.
Right.
Tragic thing is we just sent $600 million down there to rebuild their homes a couple years ago and the government kept the money.
Yep.
Yeah, welcome to Hillary and her money.
Yes,
number two. Bear means to take another's burden as your own. The word bear literally means to take someone else's burden as your own. It means to carry someone else's load so that they can keep on going. Now, let me show you what I mean by this. Brother Stoltz, come on up here for a second. Brother Stoltz has a burden. We're going to let that represent your burden. But he has other burdens in life. Pick that one up. This one's more your speed. It's more your size, all right? Now, he's got several burdens that he's carrying in life. And listen to me. Bearing someone else's burden doesn't mean I take all of those burdens. But I take the burden that has stopped him from being able to carry his burden and say, "Here, let me help you carry this one, and we'll make it together here." And we get through life as I carry one of his burdens.
I didn't pick up all of his burdens. I carried the burden that was too heavy for him that bogged him down. That's exactly what that means. It means I took it as my own so that he could keep going. I'm strong enough to carry it and keep going. That means he doesn't stop along the way and become a tragedy. That's what God means by bearing one another's burdens. Thank you. You can put your burdens down and leave them there. Amen.
Hey, we could sing a song. Like anyway, bear means to carry someone else's load so that they can keep going. By the way, it means your load gets heavier. But guess what? When you carry a heavier load, you get stronger.
Amen.
Do you know, as I carry somebody else's burden, I get stronger.
Right.
You know, if you're going to lift weights other than your fork, ouch, that hurt, especially coming off vacation. Now, did you know that after you start lifting weights, if you start off with 20 pounds and that's all you ever lift, you're not going to get much stronger? You got to keep adding weight to it to get stronger. And the more weight you add, and the more you can carry the load, the stronger you get. The stronger you get, the more weight you can carry.
Right.
That's exactly what God says. God says to bear someone's burden means you help them be able to make it the rest of the way. You take part of their load, take it as your load, you carry it on, but you get stronger in the process.
That's good.
Man, that's good stuff. Now, this means you look for an opportunity to help someone they shouldn't have to ask.
That's right.
Now, there's no way I can know what every person's problem is here in this church. But I got a pretty good thumb on everybody. Pretty well know when somebody's not doing well.
Right.
But may I say this? You got to let me know so I can help carry the load. That's what I'm here for. That's why when Tracy called, she got baptized Wednesday. She's got cancer surgery tomorrow morning. That's why I'll get up at 4 o'clock tomorrow morning and get ready. We'll leave at 5, be at the hospital in Frederick by 6 or so, pray with her. And I'll go back Tuesday after she's had surgery. Say why? Because she's got a load that she needs somebody to help her carry. That's why when Mung was in the hospital this week and Wiley texted me at 4:20 in the morning. It doesn't bother me. That's why when Wally texted me several times about Fred this week, about how ornery he's being. I mean, Fred, your horns are holding up the halo, all right? And the halo fell off. You know, but we ought to look for an opportunity to help people. We shouldn't have to, and I don't mean this the wrong way.
I don't think we ought to look for somebody to carry our load. I think we ought to keep carrying it until somebody offers to help us and we just can't make it any longer.
That's right.
But when somebody offers, doesn't mean that you don't say, oh, no, I can handle it, and you crash.
Right.
Everybody doing all right?
Reach on.
Don't be so proud that you don't get some help.
That's right.
We're to pick up the load as our own and not complain and whine. It's all a part of victory. If I pick up Brother Stoltz's load and say, well, Brother Stoltz couldn't carry it. Now I got to carry his load on top of my load. Oh, poor me. Look at me. Look at me carry this big, heavy load. You're not carrying the load. You're complaining about it.
Right.
What you thought you were doing to be kind ended up being something that became a problem, not just to him, not just to you, but to everybody you poison like that. Can I tell you something? Our goal is to help each and every person get victory for God.
Amen.
We're supposed to have victory for ourselves. We're supposed to have victory for him to get across the finish line. And we're supposed to have victory for him. If I can keep carrying my load, pick up part of his load, he makes it across the finish line. I make it across the finish line. He's happy. He made it successfully. And I made it successfully.
Yes.
Isn't that what it's all about? We're supposed to carry other people's loads and not say, well, when you're ready, you can have it back. Nope, I got it. Don't worry about it.
Right.
I got it. Here we go. I can handle this one.
Right. Amen.
And sometimes I can't even handle it all myself, but I'll figure out how to handle it all. I might have to readjust everything. I might have to adjust the load. Kevin was bringing a stack of Bibles in this morning. He got them stuck everywhere, getting them out of the truck. I said, Brother Kevin, come here. He said, what? I said, you can handle this if we stack it right. I helped him stack them right. Man, he was zipping right through here. He looked like a 14-year-old waitress at a restaurant on roller skates at first, you know. But we got that thing. We readjusted the load, and he was able to handle the load. Can I tell you something? Sometimes we've got to readjust, but guess what? You can handle the load. The word bear actually means endurance. Listen to this. You learn to endure as well as the one you help keep enduring to the finish. As he picks up his load, and he's got too much, he's not going to make it. If he's not going to make it, somebody's got to jump in and help. So you jump in and say, let me help you. Now come on, let's not stop here and just hold our load. Let's keep pulling, amen? And we keep pulling, and we keep pulling, and we cross the finish line. I finished, he finished, we're both successful. God's happy, he's happy he made it, I'm happy I made it. I carried a little more than I thought I was going to carry, but we made it there, I got stronger in the process.
Amen.
He made it, we didn't have a casualty along the way. Now take your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy. Thank you, Brother Stoltz. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy. Not 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3. And I think that's wrong, it is 2 Timothy. I can't read my own handwriting. 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse number 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Notice that entangling himself. No man that warreth entangleth himself. That's an endurance. That endurance is the same word, bear. A soldier has to bear a load while he fights a battle. He's got his backpack. He's got his weapons. He's got his ammunition. He's got his canteen. He's got his spittoon. He's got it all. He's got to be able to carry everything he needs to make it through battle. He's got a load to carry on top of fighting an enemy. Guess what? We're the soldiers of Jesus Christ. We have things that we have to keep with us. Ephesians 6 talks about our armor and talks about what we have to carry and what we have to do. But I don't care if you know every piece of armor and you know what it's for, you know what it represents and everything else. If you're not fighting, what good is the armor? We're supposed to be at war, and I'm supposed to get him through. I'm supposed to get through, and we're supposed to finish this as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. So, number one, it's a command. Number two, bearing means taking someone else's burden as yourself. Number three, and I'm hurrying, this obedience fills full the law of Christ. This obedience of helping someone else fulfills, that word fulfill means to fill full. This glass is not fulfilled. It's only 3/4 full. Fulfilled means it's clear up to the brim and running over. Amen? Like I like doing to my wife's cup so that she can't move it. She's got to slide it across the table before she picks it up. I like filling them full. Amen? God says that when we bear somebody else's burden, we take the glass and put it all the way to the top lip. You know, you get a lot in there when you can see it above the lip and it's not coming down the sides. That's what God means. It's filled all the way to the top. Can I tell you something? What is the law of Christ? I can reduce it real quick for you. The Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And it says there's also a second great commandment. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Wow. That is the law of Christ. Loving other people enough to keep them out of hell and to keep them growing all the way to the point as Christians to when they die, they're ready for heaven. Can I tell you something? If I fulfill Jesus' law, not only is he going to be happy with the person that's growing, but he's going to be happy with me. I don't know about you, but when I suck my last breath here and I die, I hope when I get to heaven, God can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I like pleasing my dad. I like when my children please me. Told one of my children today, I said, I'm very proud of you. He said, I didn't do much. I said, yes, you did. You brought people to church today. You went out soul winning yesterday, had one saved, got visitors lined up. I said, I'm very proud of you. He said, isn't that what we're supposed to do? I said, yeah, but I'm proud of you for doing it. A lot of people don't do what they're supposed to do.
Amen.
I said, you're paying your bills on time. You're making it on your own. I said, you're a good, solid person in the church. What more could I ask? I said, I'm very proud of you.
Amen.
The more I do it, the more I please him, and the more I can make him happy. Did you know you don't just have to please God one time and be done?
That's right.
You can keep pleasing him?
Yes, sir.
Do you know that if you help one person carry the load, you don't have to carry the load. Sorry. He's being obedient, though. Do you know, if I help him, I pleased Christ, didn't I? Brother Barnes, come on up here. But if I help Evan, he's got a bigger load, amen? I'm not talking about him. He just carries bigger loads, bigger wads. But if I help him, God's happy again. Brother Mike, come on up here. If I help Brother Mike carry a load, all of a sudden, God's pleased with him. God's pleased with him. God's pleased with him. He's pleased with me three times.
Right. Amen.
Say, that's selfish. Might be, but guess what? I'm going to die and go to heaven someday. I'd like to make God happy.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
And the more people I help, by the way, I helped him, I got stronger. As I help him, I get even stronger. As I help him, I get even stronger. Guess what? That means after they've crossed the line, I can come back and help more people.
That's right.
Amen.
Isn't that what it's all for? Thank you, fellas. You can have a seat. You see, the more I do it, the more pleased God is.
That's right.
My children pleased me. Let me tell you how. Josh was an assistant pastor. They had a big day. A lot of it rested on his shoulders today. I was very pleased.
Yes.
My son Jeff worked a bus route. They had five visitors, a couple saved. He had one saved out, soul winning yesterday. Have to put a half day of work in. Signed up two visitors for next week. He pleased me.
Amen.
Mindy worked her bus route. She had visitors today. And worked in the Sunday school class. Can I tell you something? They pleased me. Can you imagine how pleased God must be?
Yes,
exactly. Now, we need to keep our motivation as pleasing Christ, not so that everybody can see what we do. It's not supposed to be. Do you see me help Brother Mike and Brother Barnes and Brother Stoltz? Do you see what I did help them do? Guess what? You just lost your reward.
Amen.
That's Pharisaism. That's look at me, look at me, look at me. That's when you walk around, oh, woe is me, I got a heavy load. My problems aren't so bad, but I got to help him, and I got to help him, and I got to help him, and I got to help her. Boy, that, no. And I got to help everybody. I hear people say, preacher, how do you carry the load? I don't want to add to your load. Add to my load. It makes me stronger. I'm good with it. Heap it on. Feed me a bale of hay and let me keep on pulling, amen? Say why? Because the more I pull, the stronger I get. The stronger I get, the more people we can help.
Right.
Isn't that what it's all about? That's what Galatians 6:2 is teaching us here. Now, I got to hurry. By the way, we need to keep our motivation as pleasing Christ, because if not, less people will be helped. Look at Galatians 6:3. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. These preachers that get up and these Christians that get up, oh, look at me, look what I did, look what I did. Thank God this is a hospital, not a museum.
Amen.
Where people come get help, we're not putting anybody on display. We started off with me saying, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, just like everybody else. I am nothing special. I don't wear $500,000 grapefruit on my head and call me Holy Father. Amen.
Great.
Say why? That's somebody else getting the glory. I don't perform miracles. If there's a miracle, it's God, not me.
That's right.
Yes.
Everybody doing all right? So, number four, and I got to hurry because I got a promise to try to keep. Number four, we cannot stop doing our work to only help someone else. If we stop doing what we are supposed to do, listen to me,
if we stop doing what we are supposed to do, look at me, and or if I stop pastoring the church to help Brother Stoltz, guess what? I can't please God. Because I have work I'm supposed to do. Brother Stoltz loses his job to go help one of his bus kids. He hasn't fulfilled the law of Christ.
Right.
He has responsibilities. We're supposed to keep doing what we're supposed to do in an effort to help somebody else. We add it to our load. We don't drop our load to take their load. Everybody understand that? That's why this preacher is not going to ask you to give your Potomac Edison bill to the church. I'm asking Potomac Edison then to live by faith, not you and not the church.
Right.
I believe you ought to pay your bills and be on time. Right. Believe you ought to pay your taxes and be on time. Believe you ought to fulfill your obligations, but I also believe one of those obligations is God.
That's right.
Think we're supposed to do the whole thing all at once. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Galatians 6:4, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. If I quit doing what I'm supposed to do just to help somebody else, I have failed. I've not only failed everybody that's under me, but I've also failed him, and I fail everybody that's depending on me. Boy, that's a good statement. Brother Fugit Wednesday night asked me after church to stop by his office. I just hollered at him, shake his hand. He said, come on up to my office. You got a minute? I said, I'm on vacation. I got nothing but time. I said, first time you've ever heard me say, I'm not in a hurry to do something, Doc. He started laughing. He said, come on. I spent about 4 or 5 minutes in his office with him. He asked about the church and the property, and he looked at, I had a picture of it with me and the plans, and we talked about things for a little while, and he said something. Brother Fugit's about eight months older than I, 9 months older than I. He just turned 50 here a few weeks ago. He said, Brother Bush, he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, I like what your church is doing.
Amen.
He said, I like your pioneering spirit. He said, there's not a lot of pioneering going on in America anymore. He said, everybody's trying to take over other church buildings or other buildings and convert them. He said, there's nothing wrong. He said, but there's just something about somebody that's got enough grit to clear off a old lot and start from scratch. He said, that's the way it used to be. He said, I'm glad I can use you as an example to our college kids to go out there, and if a 50-year-old can do it, they can too. I said, hey. I said, what you saying? He said, you know what I'm saying. Neither one of us are spring chickens anymore. I said, I'm not 50 yet, Doc. He said, I just like the pioneering spirit. He said, it seems like people are borrowing off of everybody else's influence to build their ministry. They're not banging on doors, doing it the old-fashioned way. I said, well, I don't know any other way to do it. It's in the Bible. I said, we're just going to keep on knocking doors, keep on fishing the holes till the holes go dry, and then we're going to find new holes. Amen? Can I tell you something? That's what God's talking about here. We can't stop winning souls and going out soul winning and obeying God to build a building.
Right.
We'll pay a little extra money for somebody else to build the building while we keep obeying God. That's the way it's supposed to be done.
Yes.
Everybody doing all right? we shouldn't, listen to this, we need to keep our responsibilities fulfilled while we help other people. We're supposed to fulfill our responsibilities while we help other people. We shouldn't complain about our load to someone else who's hurting. We ought to decide to dig in and get both loads carried.
That's right. Amen.
I'm not supposed to go to Brother Stoltz and say, Brother Stoltz, do you know how bad I hurt today? I don't think I can help you. And did you know that I've got a heavy load? Why should he care? He's got all he can handle. God gave me my load to carry.
Right.
And if I think I got enough breath left in me, let me have a portion of that thing, man. Let me grab part of that and let's both get this thing going. Because guess what? I find out if I can help somebody else, they're at my side. And that buddy system, all of a sudden, we get a little energy off of each other.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And it's like, Doc, can you take another step? I think so. All right, if you take one, I'll take one. Here we go. Let's take another one. Let's take another one. Let's take another. Kind of like I was at 4 o'clock this morning when I got out of bed. I think I can make it to the washroom. Here we go. All right, I made it there. I think I can make it through a shower. By the time I got done, it was, I think I can make it to work this morning. Amen? Yeah, there's days I drag out of bed. I get resurrected from the dead, not awakened. But may I say this, if you got somebody coming, you can make it happen a little easier. Boy, that's a good statement. We're not to compare our load to someone else's load. Do you know I'm not supposed to compare my load to Brother Barnes's load? You know, I'm not supposed to compare Brother Gus's load to Brother June's load. And I'm not supposed to compare their load to my load and say, well, mine's bigger than all yours. Who are we comparing loads with? This isn't a junior high gym class. Did you ever see junior hires? It's funny. I can carry more things than you can carry. Not one of them can walk and chew gum at the same time. Their brain falls out their ear at night and they can't find it for a few years. But they think they got it all under control. I'm not supposed to look at these college kids that I preach to on Tuesday and say, bless God, you think it's hard now. Wait till you get out yonder. I did say, if you can't make it now, you won't make it then. But I did tell them they could make it. Amen. I'm not supposed to compare what they're doing at 19 and 20 and 21 at what I'm doing after having done it longer than they've been alive.
Yes, right. That's right.
I should be able to carry more than a 20-year-old.
Yes,
if I can, I haven't been doing much.
Right.
Boy, that's a good statement. You know, I'm not supposed to criticize them because I was their age once. So many times we get accomplished in something and we get very frustrated with somebody back here that can't carry what we're carrying right now. Let me tell you something, those of you that have adult children, I'm not supposed to look at my 18, almost 19-year-old daughter and say, what's wrong with you? You're not carrying the load I'm carrying. Number one, she's not almost 50 years old and been doing this a long time. This is her first trip around the block, amen?
Amen.
I've been around the block so many times, I don't even put my hands on the handlebars and I can do it blindfolded. I can tell her what's coming before it happens. Don't compare. Don't criticize. And may I say this? Don't complain that your load's too heavy.
Right.
If you need help carrying it, come see me. I'll help you carry it. But don't complain about it. Oh, it's just so hard. You know, you could vacuum the carpet with your lower lip. It's sagging so low. Call you Hoover Tracker. Good night. And may I say this? Don't expect anything in return when you help somebody else carry their load. Except strength.
Amen.
I'm not looking for him to give me anything in return. Because what I get from helping him is the strength to help somebody else.
Amen.
Well, I helped somebody and they didn't even say thank you. Well, you can say you're welcome. Well, I can't believe it. I thought they were a Christian. Well, Christians can act like sinners too because they are.
Yes, sir, right.
I didn't do it because they were a Christian. Did you know you can help lost people too? Man that works at the end of the hallway, Mr. Cole. I've developed a friendship with him. He got here about 7 o'clock this morning. He said, good night, Pastor. He said, what are you doing here at this hour? I said, Mr. Cole, I've already put down 2 cups of coffee. I said, I've been here since 5. He said, what for? I said, for my church. I said, I love them. I want them to have the best I can give them. I said, I've prayed for every one of them. I've prayed at every seat in my auditorium this morning. I said, I've prayed for every kid that's going to get on that bus this morning. I've walked into every Sunday school class and prayed over each chair in every Sunday school class and in the nursery, make sure that they're cared for. I said, I want God to bless them.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
He was getting out, and he was having trouble with his door. I said, let me help you. Helped him get his things. I said, can I carry that for you? He said, no, I got it. I said, I'd be glad to. He said, I know you would, but that's okay. I said, I'm not here to... I said, I won't offend you. Can I tell you something? I was trying to help him. God bless him. He said, you don't like Notre Dame either, do you? I said, no, they're not one of my teams. He likes college football, so I can talk college football with him. He said, well, what team do you like? I said, I'm Ohio State Buckeye. He said, oh, you got a good one. I said, yeah, but my son's a Clemson Tiger fan. He said, now that's a rivalry. I said, yeah, my daughter's dating a guy that's an Alabama fan. He said, you guys get along? I got to tell you this. I know I'm over time, but too late. I took my wife and I took Brandon and Mindy out Thursday night. We were at some barbecue joint getting barbecued beef and pork and sausage and turkey and whatever else they pile on that thing, amen? I got my Buckeye shirt on. Brandon's there with his Alabama shirt on. I knew he was going to do it, so I wore mine just to spite him. I knew it. I knew what was coming. My wife will tell you, there's a guy standing on the other side, and he said, you two are together? I said, kinda. He said, now how's that work? Ohio State and Alabama. He said, you guys ought to be out in the parking lot scrapping with one another. I said, why? We're going to whoop them. Brandon's ears start turning red. He said, I can't believe you two guys are... He said, how do you do that? I said, it takes a heap of love. I said, I can overlook his faults. Poor kid, he couldn't win no matter what he said. He knew he was going to get slammed. And the fella's just looking at me. He said, son, aren't you going to say anything? He said, mm-mm. I thought, this is great. We were having fun. It's just all you know what? I don't care who wins, who loses. I don't give a rip. It's not going to change my life one little bit, but it sure is fun poking fun with each other. Right. Wait a minute. I'm not afraid to help that man carry a load. Say why? He's a person. He's a person. Don't expect anything in return. You know, some may say thank you. Some may not say thank you. Some will expect you to do it again. So guess what? If they expect you to do it again and get stronger. They did give you something, whether you knew it or not, you got strength. Right. And you got to fulfill the law of Christ. Brother Bush, why is Galatians 6:2 your life's verse? I've never been asked that question in almost 30 or over 30 years. Some toe-headed college kid. Brother Bush, why is that your life's verse? Because it is. No, I gave an answer. I gave part of that as an answer, and as I thought through it more, I thought, wow, what a great question. But what a great verse.
Yes, right.
I'm not asking you to make that your life's verse. That's not what I'm asking. I'm telling you why it's mine. I'm telling you what I'm trying to live up to. By the way, I fall way short. I hate to admit this. I fail you probably more than I succeed. And I apologize. I'll hurt some of you someday. I've already hurt you. And I'm sorry. It's not because I want to. I'd like to help carry your load. I can't wait as we grow, and we've been growing, and God's growing our church. And when we get a new building up, look out, good night. When I told Brother Fugit what our auditorium was going to seat, he said, Brother Bush is not big enough. I said, I got to do what I got to do, and I can expand it. He said, how are you going to do it? And I showed him. He said, that'll get you by. I said, by then, I should be able to start putting a second building up. I pulled out plans for the second one and showed him. He said, okay, now I see where you're going. He said, but that's not going to last you long. He said, do you realize in a couple of years you're going to need another building? I said, yes, sir. I said, but in a couple of years, we'll deal with that. I said, I got to get to this level first. He said, it's not going to stay where it's at. I said, I know that. I said, it's okay. We'll get there. I just want to carry everybody's burden I can, so I can get stronger and carry more people's burdens. Brother Bush, why is that your life's verse? That's why. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I know for sure because I've trusted Christ as my Savior. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You may put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere hidden inside that verse was something I personally needed. Something that you said tonight, something that I needed. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I died tonight, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'll not call your name. I won't embarrass you. I won't come to you. Say, preacher, that's me. I'm not sure I'd go to heaven if I died, but I'd like to know it. Oh, you could know in just a matter of a minute or two. Would you raise your hand? All right. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the music will begin to play. If you raised your hand saying you're something in that sermon you needed, why don't you come to this old-fashioned altar? Come as far as you can and kneel. You just tell God what it is, and you do business with God.